God has for us. And so all of us get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of that. We get to be part of what God is going to do this year. And so I want to give you just a little focus of what I feel the year of 2018 will be for Harvest Ministries. I believe it can be summed up in one word. Just one word, and that word is simply this: others. Others. If we're a selfish person, then we need to get ready, because God's about to work on us. It's not about us. It's not truly about me and my and mine. But it's about Jesus Christ and what He has called us to do, and that is to reach others. Others. This next year is going to be about reaching others. I mentioned a special ministry leader meeting this weekend. We are going to be implementing a new program, a new discipleship step this year called First Steps. First Steps. In the month of January, we're going to take all of our ministry leaders through this program and refocus and develop and work on it. And then next month, in the month of February, on Wednesday nights, we're going to take the whole church through our First Steps discipleship series. This is a four-week series that's designed ultimately to bring brand new people who just come to visit the church, to bring them in and to help them know a little bit about Harvest, about our history and what we believe and how to be saved and all of that kind of stuff. And then we're going to talk about some things that they need to know if they want to be about Harvest and they want to be part of this church. There's some things I want people to know. This is what our culture is. And this is what we stand for. And this is what we believe and teach. And then we're going to be looking at our spiritual giftings. We're going to be looking at finding a place in the church to serve. What is my gifting? And what is my personality type? And all these things are being discussed in the First Steps discipleship course. And this is a four-week course that is destined or designed to bring a brand new person who visits Harvest, and in 4 weeks, help them to know really what we're about and what it takes to be saved and what it takes to live for God and what we teach and believe and practice. And then in 4 weeks, find some place for that person to serve and be a part of the ministry that we are doing here. Okay? Now, obviously, there's different levels of service here. And we're not going to bring a brand new person in and have them teaching a Sunday school class or have them preaching or something like that. But there is something that each and every one of us can do to be a part of the kingdom of God. And First Steps is designed to give them a plan of, okay, here's what I'm supposed to do to be a part of what God is doing at Harvest. So that's coming in 2018. Remember, others. Others. We're also going to implement a program that was discussed in our leadership retreat this last year. And some of you were there, but we are going to be starting a small groups ministry. A small groups ministry. You'll be hearing more about this as the month goes along, but basically we're looking at having a 13-week semester in the beginning of the year, a 13-week semester in the fall of the year, and possibly a shorter summer semester and a summer series of small groups. And these small groups are designed to have people and their interest connect with others, okay? So there may be an interest that you have. It could be hunting. It could be fishing. It could be cooking. It could be shopping. Can I get a witness? And is there a way that we could take that interest and turn it into a group where we can have a spiritual focus? We'll have a lesson, we'll have time of prayer, we'll have time of interaction with one another and encouraging one another. And in that time of interest, there will be others that would be interested in being a part of that group. Maybe they haven't ever come to Harvest, but they're your neighbor and they know you like fishing. Maybe they've never even known about Harvest, but you could say, hey, we've got a group of ladies that get together and we fellowship and have a few scriptures and a lesson, and we do some shopping. And so they're able to connect with that group, and then we're able to minister on a smaller level as our church grows to become larger, we're able to keep that small group atmosphere. And so you'll be hearing more about this, but this is another thing we're going to be implementing in 2018. Everybody say, others. Others. There will also be some times of special outreach. As you know, we are starting a daughter work in the city of Nixa. We're very excited about the open doors that we're already seeing, and we're believing for greater open doors this year. We've had some very targeted prayer meetings there in the city of Nixa. And I want to challenge and encourage every one of you, when you drive through Nixa, I want you to pray, God, open the doors. God, supply the finances. God, help us to reach hungry people in this city. Give us favor. Give us favor with businessmen. Give us favor with people. Give us favor with the city leaders. God, I pray that you would direct us. And so we're going to be having some outreach, not only in Nixa, but we've already got a special outreach program here in the city of Springfield, and we're going to be doing our best to reach out to others. Others. The Mission in Motion. The Mission in Motion, our capital stewardship campaign. We're looking at all the options for our immediate future. And we've had several services lately where we've been almost packed and well over 200 in attendance. And so we're mindful of being ready for this next step. We must have room if we're going to minister to more people. And so we're looking at plans to build on to this current facility, as you know, and what would be the most feasible, most effective, cost-effective way to do that, whether it be build a sanctuary first or possibly build a family life center and use it as a sanctuary until our financial base is built up so we can afford the sanctuary that we truly need. Until that time, we're doing everything we can to grow, okay? Remember, it's about others. It's about others. Our board met a few weeks ago and prayerfully considered some of the options before us. And we're even considering the possibility of sometime in the future going to multiple services so that we can minister more effectively to more people. Because again, it's about others, you're getting it. I realize our flesh likes to be comfortable. We like to come in church just before it starts and find our perfect little pew and settle into our spot there and our favorite area of the sanctuary. And we like for everything just to be comfortable as we like it. But in 2018, I feel that God is going to take us to the next level of growth and the next level of revival. And flesh never likes growth. Flesh never likes revival. Amen. Flesh likes to relax and take it easy and enjoy the status quo and sit quietly and relax in our comfort zone. But there's one word that propels us forward. Yes, it must. It must propel us and call us to that next level. And that word is others. Others. We could continue on being comfortable, but God is calling us to reach others. And so we've got to find ways. We've got to find avenues to reach more and more people. We've got to find ways that we can have open doors to reach more, because it's about others. The souls of people who have no hope unless they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what must be on our minds. That's what must drive us. It must challenge us. It's got to drive us to prayer. It's got to humble us to servanthood. It must transform our thinking. Others, others. Oh, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. We have such a long way to go. But the best place to start is thinking of Mark chapter 15, verse 30 and 31, as Jesus hung on the cross, dying for the sins of all the world. The people mocked him. They said to the creator of the universe, the one responsible for the very breath within their lungs. In Mark chapter 15, verse 30 and 31, they said, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. They almost had it right. If they had but changed just one word, instead of he saved others, himself he cannot save, it really should have been he saved others, himself he would not save. He could have called down 10,000 angels in one moment of time. He could have destroyed the entire Roman army with that same voice that spoke the universe into existence. He could have incinerated this world, yet he did not. He would not. Instead, he died in our place, hanging on the cross, bearing the weight of all the sins of the world, of all of humanity, stretched upon that tree, his body racked with pain, those gathering around mocking him and spitting in his face. Yet as his nail-torn hands were in torment, he was reaching for others. And we're called to be Christians, and we're called to be Christ-like. Oh, what a daunting task, but we must start with reaching for others. And harvest, that's what we're going to do in 2018. That may mean you have to give up your precious seat for another who comes in, because we're reaching for others. Others may mean that at some point you get to choose which service you want to come to, the early one or the later one. Others may mean that we need more ushers. We need more greeters. We need more to serve in various ministries around the church. Others may mean that we have to get out of our comfort zone and teach a Bible study. Others may mean that we lead a small group ministry as we're reaching for people where they are. Others may mean that we put aside some of our desires, some of our preferences, some of our opinions, so that we can fill his desires and his preferences and his opinion. Others, others. Tell somebody it's all about others. Harvest, that's to be our focus for 2018. We need all hands on deck. It's not time to relax. It's not time to let down on your prayer life. It's not time to not be faithful to the house of God. It's not time to just coast along and take it easy. But remember, it's time to get busy about the work that God has called us to do. He's called us to reach others. Praise the Lord. And to help us get our focus right in this new year, every January we have something called Spiritual Emphasis Month. We're looking forward to this special time as we realign ourselves with God's direction for our lives in 2018. What does Spiritual Emphasis Month involve? First of all, it involves prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. If we want to know what the Lord thinks, we've got to talk to him. We want to know what his will is for our life. We've got to spend time with the Lord. If we want to hear the voice of God, we've got to push away from the things of this world and learn to tune in to the voice of the Spirit. Fasting is so key to that. The last several years, we've had a special time of fasting this first week of January, and we're going to do that again this week. And so we're inviting you to do whatever you're physically able to do. Okay? Now, some may not be physically able to go for a seven-day fast, but some of us can. Some of us can. And so if you need any advice, you can talk to some of these that are experts about fasting. Don't talk to me, because I don't have all the answers about this. But I do know this. You've got to make sure that you're hydrated, okay? So make sure you're drinking plenty of water. And at some point, you may need to drink some juice or something to keep your strength up, especially if you're working. You've got to keep up your strength and all of that. But we're challenging the church to do a fast. If you're unable to do just straight fasting and you want to choose to do another type of fast, you do what you can. You do what you're able. But don't let it just be, well, I'm going to get out of this because I'm going to do a Daniel's fast or whatever. No, do what you are physically able to do. And let's believe that God, as we push away from the things of this world, as we sacrifice this flesh, that he's going to begin to speak to us, we're going to hear more clearly, and there's going to be mighty revival here at Harvest this month. Amen? So we're going to leave that up to you. If you'd like to start today, if you'd like to start tomorrow, if you'd like to start Tuesday after New Year's, I understand that. But we're challenging you to do a seven-day fast. Make sure to stay hydrated and all of that. If you need to do another type of fast, like a Daniel's fast or something like that, and that would be okay, but do what you can, And let's see what God is going to do this first week of January. Also, our church family prayer will be held each Saturday in the month of January. So 6 o'clock each Saturday, not just the first Saturday, but each Saturday. We're going to have a special time of church family prayer. Now, we're not going to come in and have announcements and have all of the other stuff, three songs and a sermon. We're going to come in. There might be some music playing softly, and we're just inviting you to come in and spend time in prayer, okay? This Saturday, we may give just a little direction, but for the rest of the month, unless the Lord directs me specifically, we're just asking you to come in, spend some time in prayer, and go ahead and leave. So from 6 to 7 o'clock will be prayer time every Saturday this month. And then Sunday, everybody say revival. Revival. We're going to have revival services every Sunday in the month of January. So bring people that need the Holy Ghost. Bring somebody that needs deliverance. Come ready to worship. Come ready to respond to the preaching of the Word of God. And I believe that God is going to fill people with the Holy Ghost, with His Spirit in the month of January. On Wednesday nights, we'll have some special teaching for the church. And you don't want to miss our special spiritual emphasis teaching on each Wednesday night. The first Wednesday will be this Wednesday. Now, there'll be no classes this Wednesday. Everybody will be here in the sanctuary. And we're going to just be covering some of the basic things about living for the Lord. This Wednesday, we'll be looking at the subject of what does it mean to love God? What does it mean to love God? How are we saved? How are we called out? How do we live for the Lord? The second Wednesday, we'll be covering the subject of growth. Growth. If we're not growing, we're losing ground. We need to be experiencing growth. And it's not that we don't ever have setbacks. Setbacks come. But overall, there should be a pattern of growth in our life. The third Wednesday, we'll be looking at the subject of what it means to serve. To be like Jesus, we must be a servant. Amen. And there's countless ways to serve the kingdom of God around here at Harvest. And so the fourth Wednesday, we'll look at the topic of simply go. Go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So we've got a great job to do. It's the Great Commission. We must go. So love, grow, serve, go. We believe that these 4 weeks will catapult us into what God has for us in 2018 as Harvest goes to the next level. The fourth Wednesday of this month, we'll also be taking communion together, and then we'll be having revival the last Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the month with Brother Matt Tuttle. If you've never heard Brother Matt Tuttle preach, you are in for a treat. You're going to love him. He is probably my favorite apostolic preacher under the age of 40. And don't tell everybody that, but I'm telling you, you are in for a treat. He preaches at conferences all around the world. And it's going to be something very, very special. Amen. Is anybody excited about 2018? Praise the Lord. God's got some great things in store for us. Hallelujah. And it's about something bigger than ourselves. It's about the work of God. Amen. I wonder if you would stand with me right now, and we're going to transition. I do have a very, very short message of what I believe God wants us to have for this new year, but we're going to pray right now, and I want us to ask that God would help us to think about others this year. Help us to put ourselves aside and to focus on others that need Him and what we can do to be a part of Harvest, to work and serve in reaching others. Would you pray with me right now? Lord, we thank You for this great group of people today. We thank You for this new year that You are blessing us with. We pray that Your hand would be upon us as we focus ourselves during Spiritual Emphasis Month, as we reach to be closer to You, and as we reach others, Lord. I pray that You'd help us to have a heart for souls. Help us to have a heart for the hurting. Help us to have a heart for the lost. God, help us to be reminded that just as You saved us, just as You brought us up out of the miry clay, as the song says, Lord, there are others that they need that same experience, and we can take them this hope, this truth, this special gospel. I pray, God, that You would challenge us this month. Help us, Lord, in Spiritual Emphasis Month to grow closer to You than we've ever been before. Give us strength in our fasting and prayer this week. I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts, open our understanding, help our ears to hear what you would say to us. We give you all the praise and the glory right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As you're standing, I wonder if you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. I do want to say I appreciate your prayers for our family, and especially for Lorne this last several months. And she's doing better. She is not totally better, but she is doing better. And so I know that your prayers are making a difference, but we do ask that you continue to pray, and that just ask for God's hand of protection, his blessing, for his blood, just to cover her during this time and give her strength. And as far as spiritual things go, pray for spiritual protection, and hopefully you do pray for your pastor and pastor's family. But just pray that God's will be done and God's hand be upon us and direct us and guide us. Strengthen us for the work that he's called us to do. It's not always easy. It's not always easy, but we do fight spiritual battles, and we do covet your prayers so very much. So thank you for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Paul said, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." Turn to someone and tell them, the time is now. The time is now. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Most, if not all of you, are familiar with the Azusa Street Revival. Its glory years were from 1906 to 1909. And so many people had come to the Lord during that revival. So many people saw their lives completely and radically changed. It tremendously affected the city of Los Angeles. And so many who came from far and wide to see the power of God fell, took it back to their respective cities and their nations around the world. Azusa Street was winding down, and during that time there was some controversy that came up over doctrine. Many who had come to Azusa, they held the belief that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as described in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, was a secondary work of salvation, the original work being done at repentance. And so this basically left the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a secondary blessing. There's many who still consider it that today. Yet a minister named William H. Dunham became known for preaching the finished work doctrine, which placed importance on the infilling of the Holy Ghost instead of just declaring it to be a secondary experience. It was the finished work altogether when somebody was filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. When we repent, God forgives us of our sins. When we're baptized in His name, He washes those sins away. When we're filled with the gift of His Spirit, He transforms us and lives inside of us. Dunham was invited to preach at the original Azusa Street Mission, and soon news spread all over town about the finished work doctrine. All of the other mission works in the city were soon empty. And one testimony relates that on Sunday, the place was crowded and 500 people were turned away. The people would not leave their seats between meetings for fear of losing them. The fire began to fall at old Azusa as it had at the beginning. What an exciting time of revival. However, author Frank Bartleman writes what happened next. He says, "Then on May 2nd, I went down to Azusa Street and to everyone's surprise, found the doors were locked with the chain and padlock. Brother Seymour had hastened back from the east and with his trustees decided to lock Brother Durham out. It was his message they objected to. But they locked God and the saints out also. From the old cradle of power also. In a few days, Brother Durham rented a large building at the corner of 7th and Los Angeles streets. 1,000 people attended the meetings there on Sundays and about 400 on weeknights. Here the cloud rested and God's glory filled the place, and Azusa became deserted. Isn't that something? Azusa, a place that was starred because of the power of God that fell, the infilling of the gift of the Holy Ghost, and because there was not the proper reverence to what that really meant. Azusa once then became deserted, and God moved the revival on. Another important event around the end of Azusa was their camp meeting at a place called Arroyo Seco. And it was there at that camp meeting where the revelation of the name of Jesus in His name and baptism first caught hold. And so people would go from that camp meeting taking the original apostles' doctrine back home with them all around the world. There are two prophecies from Azusa Street that are very interesting for us today. You may have heard these before, but I'd like us to remember them. The first prophecy stated that in the last days, three things will happen in the great Pentecostal movement. First of all, there will be an overemphasis on power rather than on righteousness. Secondly, there will be an overemphasis on praise to a God they no longer pray to. And third, there will be an overemphasis on the gifts of the Spirit rather than the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's quite telling for our world today. I would say we're definitely living in an age where people are more concerned with the power of God. The power of God to work signs and miracles and wonders for them, to bring blessings to their lives, than they are on being righteous. Living holy and living acceptable unto the Lord. Everybody wants what God can give them, but they're not as concerned about living holy lives. We also see many in our world that they love praise and worship, but prayer is not so popular. Let that not be said of Harvest. Prayer must come first. Prayer must come first. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the atmosphere of prayer that filled this house before service today. 45 minutes before service to 15 minutes before service. We spend 30 minutes in prayer and focused prayer for that service. And I want to tell you, the power of God moved through this house. And I believe that the work that God wanted to accomplish is made possible when we pray and seek His face. That doesn't mean we don't have praise and that we don't have worship. We believe in that, but I don't believe we can have a revival church if we're not a worshiping church. But prayer must come first. Amen. And thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. But more importantly, we need to realize Jesus Christ is Lord. There's some times that we don't need a word of knowledge to tell us how to live right. There's some times that we don't need a miracle just to be faithful. When Jesus Christ is truly our Lord, all those other things fall into place real quickly. Amen. But there's a second prophecy, one that was talked about several years ago but has not been mentioned much lately. That prophecy was included in the book, They Told Me Their Stories. It's a book recounting the memories of people who had attended Azusa Street as children and as young adults. This prophecy stated that around the ending of Azusa, it said that a century from then, God would give another Pentecostal outpouring even greater than the one they had experienced. In the last several years, I believe we've seen the beginnings of this. The beginnings of a great and powerful move of God, like this world has not seen in over 100 years. I believe it is beginning to happen all around the world. But I truly believe that we've only seen the beginning of that great revival. The Pentecostal outpouring at the beginning of the 20th century, it began with a great storm in 1900. The great San Franciscan earthquake in 1906. The ocean and the land, it joined together and joined with heaven and saying, hey, there's something significant happening. Storms, earthquakes, natural disasters. Does that sound familiar today? I've come to preach to this great church today on this New Year's Eve of 2018 that now is the time for great revival. I believe we're in that day. I believe we're about to experience the greatest revival that there has ever been in this world, because God's about to come back for a church, and he's preparing a people, and he's calling people out of this world to live for him. Now is the time for great revival. Hallelujah. We're living in uncertain times. We live in a day where people's hearts are failing them for fear. And the Bible prophecies about the last days are quickly coming to pass. People have grown tired of looking for answers in their life. And they've been let down by so much of this life. But I believe they're looking for the true church like never before. Hey, I want to tell you, when the world goes under, when the world degrades itself, there's a city on a hill that cannot be hid. When the world grows darker, there's a light of truth that shines even brighter, and you cannot hide it, but it shines for all the world to see. People have lost faith in cold and dark churches. They've grown weary of churches that are carnal and churches that are worldly. And they're looking for a church that's not ashamed of who they are and not ashamed of what they represent. People are hungry for something real that can transform their life and bring real meaning to their existence in this earth. Hallelujah. I read recently that there was a denominational minister, it was in another state, who had begun to attend several of our United Pentecostal Church meetings. And in those services, nobody held back. They had apostolic worship. They had apostolic preaching. They had prayer. You know, just because the mayor of Springfield walks in here, we're not going to hold back. Amen? I'm looking forward to the day that we have senators and different businessmen and people from the community to come. And I want to tell you, when they come, I want them to realize, yes, this is an apostolic church. Amen. This denominational minister came to some of those meetings, and throughout those services, he would declare to everyone that he met, he said, I want this. I want this. I've come to tell you today that for everyone who doesn't want this truth, there are people that are just dying to receive it. There's someone out there that does. For everyone who may reject holiness and righteousness and the apostolic experience, there are many more out there who've never experienced those things, but they desire it with all their heart. I believe that churches are going to rise to the challenge in the last day. I know that first Azusa prophecy, it prophesied a falling away. The Word of God declares it will happen, and there's going to be some that fall away from the truth. But I just happen to believe that there'll be many more who fall in love with this gospel. They fall in love with this apostolic way. They're going to have no problem living separated from the world. They're going to draw near even as some fall away. And I plan for Harvest to be one of those churches that rises to the challenge of end time revival. I want to be a true New Testament church in 2018, a true New Testament church in the 21st century, doing what God has called us to do. Does anybody believe that? Does anybody agree? We need to be an apostolic church. We need to declare apostolic truth. We don't need to be ashamed of who we are and what we believe, but we're founded on the Word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with being apostolic. It's how we should be. We're not going to give up anointed singing. How we should be. We're not going to give up altar services where people come and they weep and they cry and they pour out their heart to the Lord. It's how we should be. We're not going to give services up where people shout and dance and rejoice. It's how it should be. We believe that preachers should be trumpets. Trumpets declaring truth, designed to wake people up, to shake them from their slumber, to preach about the dangers of hell. Preachers aren't supposed to be little flutes leading people to destruction, gently rocking them to sleep as the world moves closer and closer to hell. There must be a certain sound that declares truth in this last day. Will not change the message of the apostles in the last day. This same message has worked for over 2,000 years now, and it still works today. How many of you can testify that it was that old-time religion? It was that old-time religion that got a hold of your heart and changed your life. Hey, if it was good enough for Paul and Silas, it's still good enough for me. Give me some of that old-time religion. Hallelujah. That does not mean that we don't adjust our methods to reach people in today's generation. Methods change, but we will not change our message. A few years ago, you may remember when the Atlanta West Pentecostal Church won a nationally televised choir competition. And maybe some of you remember, it was so refreshing to watch the videos of that choir competition. And as you watched their performance, or rather their worship in that choir competition, here were ladies with long hair. Here were ladies without jewelry and makeup. The men were dressed nice. They were living separated from the world. And they weren't afraid to worship. They weren't afraid to worship. In fact, the whole place erupted into a little praise break at the close of their song. And one of the judges used this phrase in describing that choir. I thank God for a church that is unapologetically apostolic. I thank God for a church that is unapologetically apostolic. That needs to get into us. We are unapologetically apostolic. That's who we are. We don't apologize for being apostolic. It's who we are. Come on, we believe in the power of God to transform lives. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in demonstrative worship. It's who we are. We believe in the power of the preached word of God. We believe in that. We're not going to apologize about that, but we're going to keep being apostolic because we believe that this is what people need today. They need the same thing that the apostles taught. We're unapologetic about it. Hallelujah. We believe in cooperating together to reach the lost. We believe in unity. We're not competing against one another. We don't need a spirit of discord and a disunity. We're racing the clock. We just have a little time. We've got a work to do. So I believe we will see God pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is the time for revival. And so we need to discern the time. Let's not fasten our eyes on the distant future. Let's not worry about the past, but let's realize, behold, now is the time for revival. How will revival come? Great revival comes from Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of the harvest. I pray today that He is the Lord of Harvest Ministries in Springfield. Hallelujah. The modern Pentecostal revival movement, it began when people began seeking Jesus. They left the norms of church of that day and they said, we're not looking for empty tradition. We're not searching for a man-made religion, but we're looking for something real. It was A.B. Simpson, an early holiness preacher, who wrote a song called Jesus Only. The words went like this: Jesus only, Jesus ever, Jesus all in all we sing, Savior, sanctifier, and healer, glorious Lord and coming King. We understand who Jesus is. We understand who Jesus is. He was the Father in creation. He was the Son in redemption. Oh, He's the Holy Ghost in salvation today. I want to tell you, I'm thankful that I know who Jesus is. I'm thankful that I was buried in baptism in the name of Jesus. If we can lift up Jesus, He said that I would draw all men to me. That's what we've got to do. I don't worry about the problems. I don't worry about the situations of life, but I lift up Jesus. I lift up Jesus. He's my King. He's my Savior. He's my help. I lift up Jesus today. He's the answer. Jesus. Jesus. He's a very present help in trouble. Faith in Jesus never goes out of style. He's very relevant for the world that we're living in today. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's got to bring the revival. However, I believe that revival comes to those who are looking for it. But the Tom Barnes was a modern day prophet who has sensed passed away, but he said a few things about Azusa a few years ago. He said that it will happen again. He said that a fire will fall from heaven, that gifts will be spilled like diamonds on those who are discerning, and revival fires will once again spread around the world in anticipation of the final coming of the Lord. I wonder, is anybody looking for revival? Is anybody looking for revival? Is there an anticipation in your heart? Is there an expectation in your spirit? Are we preparing for revival? I believe that's part of who we are. And are we reaching for others? Jesus said in Luke 24, 49 through 53, He said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And He led them out as far as to Bethany. And He lifted up His hands and He blessed them. And it came to pass when while he blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. They were looking for that promise. They were excited. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. They were looking for the revival and the promises of God to come. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." I want to tell you, there's a revival coming that will eclipse even the great revival of the New Testament that the apostles experienced. And I believe today, I preach today, Harvest Ministries, the time for revival is now. The time for revival is now. This revival is going to come from God. We can't force it. We can't make it happen. But I believe that revival comes to those who are looking, who are preparing for it. Why would God give us 100 brand new souls if we can't take care of that many? Why would God bring that many to this church if we can't disciple them and teach them and help them to learn what it means to be a Christian? Are we looking for revival? Are we preparing for revival? Because the time is now. Would you stand with me today? Hallelujah. Throughout church history, There has been several awakenings, spiritual awakenings. I believe today that we need an awakening in 2018. We hear about revival. We preach about souls. We talk about serving others. And yes, it does strike a chord within us, but then we go along our way and we're busy and life happens. We're moved for a little time, but then we find ourselves back at the status quo. I believe there's got to be an awakening within us. It's about others. It's about others. In closing here today, if you need the gift of the Holy Ghost, I believe it's here and you can receive it. And we're going to pray with you for that to happen. If you need deliverance in your life, I believe it's here. It's been here all this service and chains have been breaking all over this house. But more than that, I believe every one of us need a spiritual awakening. So what this pastor is asking on the last day of 2017 as we look for 2018, this pastor today is asking, I wonder if we could all gather around this altar and pray a prayer asking God to bring revival, asking God to bring an awakening to our life, for God to use us in reaching others, that God would let there be an expectation and an excitement and anticipation for the great revival that He is going to bring, and that He would help this church be prepared for the great harvest that He has for us. I don't want to miss it. I don't want it to fall through our hands. As a farmer prepares, he's got to take into account how much I'm planting, how much fertilize, how much water, what the season is. But he's also got a plan for the harvest. We all want a big harvest, but what are we going to do with the harvest when it comes? We've got to have an awakening to where we're truly about others. All across this house, I wonder right now, would you pray, God, help me? I'm too selfish, God. I've got to be thinking about others. There are souls that are depending upon me. There are lives that don't have a hope if it's without me. God, I need you here today. Lord, I pray that you would minister to this great church right now. Let there be an awakening in our hearts, Lord. I pray that you'd help us. Lord, I pray that you would correct our vision. So it's not just about me and mine, but when we look, God, help us to see others. Help us to see that one that we work beside. Help us to see that one that lives across the street. Help us to see that one that we go to school with, God. Help us to see them with different eyes today. Let us have a spiritual awakening, Lord, and be ready and anticipating the revival that you're about to bring, Lord. We don't want to miss it, Lord. We don't want it to fall through our hands. But God, I pray that you would prepare our hearts today. I pray that you would minister right now to every life and every person. God, I pray that you would place a passion within us for others. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we're anticipating great revival. Lord, we're looking for what we can do to serve in the kingdom of God. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be ready for what you want to do in 2018. Help us to receive this challenge. Help us to rise to the challenge today, God, to do more for you in this year than we've ever done before. I pray, God, that you would awaken us here in this house. Awaken our hearts. Awaken our minds, Lord. Shake us from our slumber, I pray, oh God. It's got to be about souls. It's got to be about others, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, help us to have a heart for revival. Help us to have a heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to have a heart for this truth. Help us to not be ashamed to be unapologetically apostolic. But God, help us to love this truth with our whole heart. In the name of Jesus. Come on, does anybody want to see revival this year? Does anybody want to see the souls that God has for us this year? Come to this church and be transformed. He's got to use us, Lord. Help us to be willing, God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Yeah.